Title: What to Watch, Status Update on Peptide Regulation. Content: Peptides are the product du jour and most recently top of mind at the Food and Drug Administration, FDA or the agency. Long relegated to the corners of biohacker and bodybuilding chat rooms, peptides have rapidly entered the commercial mainstream, driven by surging consumer demand through direct-to-consumer telehealth platforms and aggressive marketing by compounding pharmacies. That commercial momentum has now drawn sustained regulatory attention. In our April article, we discussed FDA's reported plan to reclassify more than a dozen peptides from 503A Category 2 back to 503A Category 1, designating them as under evaluation for inclusion on the 503A bulks list. 1. Substances included on the 503A bulks list are legally eligible for compounding but, importantly, so are substances under evaluation under Category 1, thanks to FDA's enforcement discretion policy. This means that, if and when these substances are moved to Category 1, they may be legally compounded until FDA makes a final determination either permitting or prohibiting continued compounding under Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act, FDCA, Section 503A. For companies in the compounding, telehealth, and life sciences sectors, the regulatory pathway these peptides follow will have significant commercial and compliance implications. Since the April article, FDA has taken a concrete step forward on this initiative, and the next formal milestone is fast approaching. FDA has now removed 12 peptides, 2, from the Category 2 list, taking them out of the significant safety risk designation. However, with the exception of GHKCU, none of these peptides have been recategorized to Category 1, and they currently do not appear on any of FDA's 503A drug substance nomination lists. The practical consequence of this interim status cannot be overstated. These substances currently exist in a regulatory gray zone. They are no longer designated as posing a significant safety risk, but they have not been affirmatively authorized for compounding under Section 503A or FDA guidance. Compounders who interpret removal from Category 2 as implicit permission to compound do so at considerable enforcement risk. General counsel and compliance officers should ensure that their organizations understand this distinction and refrain from compounding with these substances until they are formally placed on the Category 1 list or the 503A bulks list. It is also worth noting that this analysis is specific to traditional compounding under Section 503A. Outsourcing facilities operating under Section 503B of the FDCA face a separate regulatory framework, and the Category 2 removals do not independently authorize compounding under that provision. The next question, and it is a significant one, is whether and under what conditions these peptides will be formally permitted through placement on the 503A bulks list. FDA has scheduled a meeting of the Pharmacy Compounding Advisory Committee, PCAC, in July to discuss certain bulk drug substances being considered for inclusion on the 503A bulks list. 3. A second PCAC meeting will be scheduled before the end of February 2027 to discuss an additional 5 peptides. 4. Stakeholders with a commercial or clinical interest in these substances, including compounding pharmacies, telehealth platforms, branded manufacturers, and patient advocacy groups, should strongly consider participating in the comment process. Comments received on or before July 9th will be provided to the PCAC, and comments received by July 22nd ND will be taken into consideration by FDA. Submissions that include robust clinical data, safety profiles, and evidence of patient need are likely to carry the most weight. Companies considering submitting comments should coordinate with regulatory counsel to ensure that submissions are strategically framed and do not inadvertently create adverse admissions. According to Secretary Kennedy, at least, the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, and FDA are giving the matter serious consideration. On the most recent episode of the Secretary Kennedy podcast, Secretary Kennedy doubled down on his position that prohibiting these peptides from being legally compounded has not protected consumers but has instead driven them toward an unregulated market with far less oversight, and that these peptides should be made available through legitimate suppliers, properly regulated.